Sergio, what's going on?
What up?
Look at the shirt. See, I botched that shirt so bad. So I don't know if anybody told you, but me and Luke did a podcast, our weekly Bodybuilding and Bollocks podcast, and somebody asked the question, what did you think of Sergio's shirt with O.J. Simpson?
No fucking way. Someone asked me about my shirt. Yeah. I only wore it because we were so offended by it. I even love it 100 times more. But it would be different if they were just offended by it because they're butthurt about O.J. and Jessica or Nicole. But they seriously just don't even read it right. That's the problem.
I think I read it wrong. Can I tell you what I thought it was?
Yeah, go ahead.
And a full disclosure, I'm an idiot because I totally fucked it up when I explained it. Because Luke hadn't seen it, and he's like, well, what does it mean? And I'm like, well, it's like OJ's team versus her team, and her team is the white team, and OJ's team is a black team.
Right, that's how people took it, and bro, I never even thought about that until people were saying that. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I took it as, and I'm like, and then somebody explained it to me. They're like, no, man, it's my team is killing your team.
That's it.
And I was like, wow, I'm so fucking stupid. I read way too far into it.
Right, people were messaging me like, man, you should be ashamed of yourself. Your mom's white. How would you feel if your dad killed your mom? I'm like, what? I was like, what if it had a picture of, like, Charles Manson and one of his victims? Like, no matter what, he killed her. It's not saying that I'm happy about it or I accept it. Or if I made the shirt. If I made the shirt, then maybe it'd be a little fucked up.
But you got to admit, you knew it was going to rile people up when you put it on.
Oh, of course. Is that not what I do?
Honest to God, when I saw it, so I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see the shirt and no one says anything about the shirt. I think you're doing like a reverse pull down or something like that.
Yeah, right. Nobody cared about the exercise or the type of stuff I was trying to sell.
No. So I saw the shirt and I didn't even read the caption. I'm like, he totally just did that on purpose and people are going to fucking lose their shit. And you love it. You don't care.
I think because I don't have a sponsor. I don't have anyone that I have to like stay in the guidelines. Man, when I was with Labrada, if I put like the F word, bro, Labrada would be calling me up, flipping out, you know, because the Cubans are crazy Catholic, you know, and just crazy. I mean, they're all good people.
Well, he's got a clean cut company. That's
absolutely
why
like right. But then, all right. So I was like, okay, I'll clean the language up. And then do you remember that video of Phil where he's just like, you crazy fucks, I'm too, whatever. Yeah. Bro, I was so hyped when that video came out because it wasn't Phil's nature. So I reposted it. Bro, this guy called me and said that he was going to drop me if I didn't
take it.
It was so bad. And I was like, man, it's not even me saying it. And it was so motivating because exactly, like, man, people are going to say you're not going to do something, blah, blah, blah. So I think now, just the first time in my life, I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I don't have to stay in anyone's guidelines. So especially with posts, you're an exception. Well, I don't know, because you read it wrong, but you still weren't offended by it.
No, I thought it was hilarious. That you
right. So the majority of people that are going to be offended by it, yeah, or just that taken back, I'm not doing bodybuilding for those people. Yeah. Like, I'm not in this for them. I don't care about their respect. They probably don't know shit about bodybuilding. And when I clicked on a bunch of them weren't even following me. I probably just popped up in their algorithm because a bunch of people were crying about it. Yeah. So now, I mean, that's just something I want to change in the sport too, is like, there's a big difference between the fitness industry and professional bodybuilding. And somehow we're getting all lumped together and we think that it's the same thing, and it's just not. The fitness industry, besides all of their weird tendencies and their issues for their career, they're in shape for a couple months. Yeah. You know, and they post pictures for years. We're a professional bodybuilder, you know, even the 212 and Classic, we live this life every day. Yeah. So when people are sitting on their toilets on their phone, bashing bodybuilders, what they don't have or what they, you know, could be better at, those are the exact people that I'm not doing this for. And I just don't care. So riling them up and getting them so mad when you're literally not going to change my placing on stage, I think it's just the best ultimate slap in people's faces. Like, you're not going to pay my bills at all. You're not going to change anything about me. So I don't know. Maybe
I love that you're unapologetically Sergio. You're like, I don't give a fuck. You know what? It's funny because everybody says, I don't give a fuck.
They do.
But I don't think everybody means it the way you mean it.
But then the same aspect too, like, my dad was like that. He was like, I don't give a fuck about anything. And then he died poor, alone, didn't have any friends. He burned every bridge he could. So I think there is a big difference between not giving a fuck and about people's feelings that are just kind of those people that are going to get offended by stuff anyway. And then not giving a fuck when you actually did do something wrong. You did something wrong, you should give a fuck, and maybe someone needs to bring it to your attention. So I feel like I'm still that kind of person. If I ever, not a shirt, if you're getting offended by a shirt, you are a vagina. But if I ever did something where, you know, maybe, I can't even imagine something I would say, because no matter what, I don't lie. And I feel like if you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't like try and screw people over, then whatever you're doing is just the truth. And then if it's just a too harsh of a truth and you're kind of upset by it, then yeah, exactly. I don't give a fuck.
I guess a better way to put it than don't give a fuck is you're like I said originally, was you're unapologetically Sergio. You're like, this is who I am. This is what I like. This is what I do. If you don't like me, I'm not going to change.
Yeah. I also don't care about social media too. And that's been the craziest part.
Why are you so different than the rest of us? Why don't you care? Because admittedly myself, you know, I'm as real as I can be, but I still get bothered by people that are upset for no reason when I really shouldn't care. So how are you so easily like, you know, nonchalant about it? You're like, I don't care if they like me. I don't care if they do.
Cause I'm not trying to build a resume. I'm not trying to sell eBooks online. And you do have to care if you are trying to do those things. If you're trying to reach out to the guy who, you know, wants to type, I'm all natty, I'm vegan, you know, fuck steroids. Sometimes people, they want to make money off those people. You know, sometimes they want to sell them a plan. Sometimes they want them to buy their clothing. I don't want them to. If you're going to buy it, I want you to send your money back. I don't want your business. Yeah. So I think knowing really at the end of the day, they're not going to change my placing on stage at all. And I already have enough things that I'm trying to live up to and work up to that have nothing to do with them. And it never is going to. So I think now on social media, and that's what I was about to say. The craziest part is the last year I took off. And that's another thing too. If anybody bodybuilder wants to really get a slap in the face of what's really reality, take a year off, disappear. And then you'll see nobody gives a shit about you. You know, they really don't. And that is, it's part of the game. You know, you're not in it. But I still think that people should still notice that I'm off of social media, but I'm still in the gym grinding. There's a big difference of someone who just took out, like if there's people watching, I don't even know if they know these names or not, but say Chris Cook. Chris Cook was going to be the next Mr. Olympia. He was going to be the next Jay Cutler. When he took off and he stopped training, stopped working out, you're right, I didn't care anymore. But if he had like take a year off and he was training and I knew he was in the dungeon grinding, I'm still going to be following him and trying to keep up with him, messaging him. So I think when I took off and I was still grinding and I was still doing my job, but the only difference was is I wasn't, hey, take this GAT pre-workout. And I'm not making these posts, you know, these forced posts every week. Everyone disappeared out of my life. Nobody, you know, besides you and a few other people messaged me. And it just reminded me that, yeah, and exactly. I think the biggest difference is I saw my dad be at the top of his game and at the end, at the bottom. And some people haven't seen that in their face. Okay. So they still think that these people are going to care about them. I know for sure they don't. No, I know for sure they're not going to. So now I'm just kind of doing my own thing. And the craziest part is I stopped caring about social media and my followers have blown up. So some people, I think, like that. And I think there should be one person. I think there should be one person from every industry that is just a no bullshit person. Not like an extreme like Lee Priest. Like Lee Priest was like that too. You know, he talked too much and it ended up hurting his career. So there is a fine line of trying to stay within those guidelines where you're not burning your own career with the heads of bodybuilding. But at the same point, I want somebody able to message me and know no matter what they ask me, they're going to get the full truth. Yeah. And you're not going to just get that from a lot of people. So if I could be that person where, yeah, I'm going to piss you off. You might not like me. You might not like what I say, but no matter what, you're never going to be able to say Sergio lied to me, cheated me, used me for something. And I would rather stick to that than be the happy-go-lucky guy that's like, you know, I take this pre-workout and I swear it's the best.
So your goal then is to be the bodybuilding purist. You're like, I don't care. Cause basically what you're saying is everybody who's trying to do all this other shit, I don't really care about that. I just want to be the best bodybuilder I can be.
Right. Exactly. And I know now It doesn't matter. And I think we talked about it last time that I was on the show. Excuse me. I also realize there's a difference between a fan and a follower. And that's the other thing I'm mixing the fitness industry and bodybuilding up is my fans I love. I love the people that are messaging me. You don't have to even have been messaging me while I was gone, but I can tell when people are keeping up with my career. They see the downs and the ups and they're still there. I see them sticking up for me when people are talking shit. But a follower, you're literally pressing a button. That's it. That's all you're doing. And now people want to feel important. And that's a big thing now in the fitness industry is, and I'm seeing it now again, I'm being reminded. Now all of a sudden I went from Sean Ray saying I don't belong up on the Arnold stage to now all of a sudden I'm in the talk for the top. Now all of a sudden everybody wants to be on my dick and they just want to be the ones that say, I called it. You know, I said he was going to win, and it gives them like validation that they're one, important, two, that they, you know, that they knew they have this eye in bodybuilding and they can see what up and coming people are doing, but they don't. They're only just hopping on what people are.
I don't think it's that deep. I think people just like to ride people's nuts that are doing well.
Yeah, you're right. Well, so they can say, see, I called it. A guy messaged me yesterday and ended up having to block him because he was just, man, if I have to block you, because I love my haters. I don't want to block you because I want you to see me keep doing what you said I wasn't going to do. But he was messaging me to say, I called it that Sean was going to be top two, and now I'm calling it that you're going to do good too. So, and I was like, all right, well, cool. Like, but I'm already doing good. You know, where were you when I wasn't doing good? Yeah. And that's the same thing as like when the Patriots were on their winning streak. No one's like, you know what, Tom Brady, I know you just won a Super Bowl, but I think you're going to win another one. I'm going to go ahead and call it. I'm going to put myself out on a wing here. That's not doing anything. You're not doing shit. All you're doing is hopping on with everyone else. And they feel so taken back when you're like, and?
But I mean more in a sense of people in the industry. I don't mean fans on Instagram or whatever. I mean like the people in the industry that weren't there and now they see you making gains and now they are there. I feel like there's a lot of people in this industry, I'm not going to name any names, that want to be friends with the next great thing, right? It's not that they want to call it. It's not that they want to be right. I mean, they want that too, but it's more that they want to make sure if Sergio wins, I want to make sure he's my friend or I can have access or I can have an interview or I can take a picture with him or
absolutely
that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right, for sure. Sean Ray, I mean, I could do a whole show on how shitty Sean Ray is.
I didn't say anything.
one of the first times that we got into it was because, so my whole career, Sean was just like, you're not going to win this. You're never going to win that. Not to me, but to other people. Tell me I'm doing my dad's pose wrong. He's just constantly bashing me. Then guess what? I win New York. He's coming running up to me. He wants to do an interview with Muscular Development. And no matter what, I just have this like, fan in me where you can be a piece of shit, but I'm still gonna respect you because man, you're Sean Ray. I even told him, I was like, man, I'll do the interview with you, no problem. But Aceto is doing the recap with Palumbo right now. I have to do this with my coach. He literally just got me my first win. I'm just gonna do that real quick and then I'll come over. This guy was so fucking mad that I wanted to do an interview with my coach first. Then he's bashing me online immediately. Doesn't even wait. He's so mad. So either way, but yeah, people like that. But watch, when I do well at the Arnold, all of a sudden now we're going to, hey, you know what? Let's put the past in the past. And you know exactly. But if I didn't do good, nobody's going to be reaching out to me. I think the best thing that I ever did was get really close with Sean Roden. Seeing Sean's rise and fall is a constant reminder to me that it's at the end of the day, these people aren't here for you. And the people that swear by you, even could be your manager, are going to turn their backs on you as soon as everybody else does. And they want this. And I mean, this case was a completely different case. I mean, we haven't had something that's like this since Craig Titus. This is a big deal. But no matter what, at the end of the day, he had these people that are, man, I'll do anything for you. And then like that, they won't even answer your calls.
They're gone, yes.
And I saw my dad do that too. You know, nobody showed up to his funeral. Nobody.
So you're kind of walking into bodybuilding. I mean, because of all the things with your dad, you're kind of walking into bodybuilding with a wall up. You're kind of guarded already before even, like you've never walked into this thing without that wall there, without that force field or guard. No,
I did. That's the problem. In the beginning, I did think that everybody had faith in me and they loved me and they, And maybe that is why I'm still the complete opposite, is because I did get hit, but I realized.
Where was the turn for you? Because you've done well since you turned pro.
And that's what I say. It's so crazy. People are like, oh man, you know, he went through such a hard time and he was not doing well. I've literally only placed first or second in every show I've ever been.
It's not good enough.
Make any sense. But exactly. And that's what I keep talking about, is expectations in bodybuilding are everything. Yeah. If you say this bodybuilder, and we do it a lot too, it forces people to bash other bodybuilders. So if I say Luke is the best bodybuilder ever.
Yeah.
Now it forces you to now break Luke down body part by body part and say why that's not true.
Yeah.
But if I said something like, man, he's the worst bodybuilder ever, then it forces you to say, what do you mean? He's got this and that and that. And we do that in the sport, and it happens all the time, where it's because you have an expectation. So you say, oh, Sergio, he should win. Yeah. And now if I don't win, it's like a letdown. Like, so all these people that are like, I'm getting shit on social media from even my fans, because, and I get it, they're so excited for me and I appreciate it, but they'll be like, man, you're winning this, Arnold. But I'm not in this to get dick strokes. I really want to teach people this game and help them understand it. Mm-hmm. And I have the same answer to everybody who messages me about, you're going to win the Arnold. And I say, I bet you've never been to a pro show in your life. And every single time I'm right. None of them have ever been to an Olympia or an Arnold, because people don't understand, in person, these guys are monsters. It's a whole other level. Yeah. And on Instagram, you look like Mr. Olympia. I mean, look at Brion. Brion won the Mr. Olympia classic at the same way I did my first show, 176 pounds. By himself, he looks flawless. But when you put Brion or Chris Bumfield next to someone who takes last place in the Open, it is just not even the same thing. And I want people to go to shows. I want people to go to shows so we can support bodybuilding, because that's how you support bodybuilding, not sitting on your phone and commenting. But I want people to go, and I want them to be educated. But you going in and saying, Sergio, I know you're going to win this show. So now if I don't win, it's almost like it's a letdown. It's almost like I didn't do well. And that's not true.
Can I ask you, so when I was competing, there would be certain shows that people would be like, I think you got this one. Or even after prejudging, say, they would come to me. I remember this happened a few times. It really bothered me. After prejudging, they would come to me and say, you got the show. The show is yours. It's for sure yours. You got it. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And a couple times I fell for it. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to win. And then the show comes around and you're second. And then you're like,
which is great.
But it's a letdown because you believed them.
Exactly.
So the question I have for you is, when you're getting all this hype, because you were flying under the radar for a long time, but all of a sudden, you know, I've been talking about you, Dave Palumbo's been talking about you, other people been talking about you, that you've kind of like come more to the spotlight. So now, is the pressure going to get to you, or is everybody saying you're going to win going to get to you, or do you take that shit in stride, or do you believe it yourself, or do you just say, because what I used to always tell people was, I'm bringing my best and it's in the judge's hands.
Right, that's what you say. But in the back of your head, you're like, man, I had better this than that guy, and I should have probably beat him on this or whatever. But for me, for going into this Arnold, I know what's good and what's bad. I know that there's never in a million years that you're going to take someone who just got second place at the Olympia, and now somehow he's so bad that he's now lost to someone who's never even done the Arnold before.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. And I want people to understand, in bodybuilding, it's not politics. It's that this sport is a business, and it's also something where you have to work your way up and you have to earn certain things. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have someone who's had, not even to talk about the time under tension that Bonac and Dexter have had more than me. They've probably literally been lifting weights longer than me, 10 years longer than I have. So not even including that, just the amount of time and money that they've brought to the IFBB, it's never going to make sense for you to now take this guy on his way out and say, you lost because this person, this is their best. They're just not going to do that. I wish, trust me, I wish, because it's actually making bodybuilding boring.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's more human nature? Because I think, let's say you take a Bonac, right? You're second place at the Olympia. Is it almost human nature where you kind of have to let's say you come in and you look fucking amazing, right? Let's say you even look better than Bonac and you're going to win the show. Is it almost human nature where they're like, well, that's a stretch. We can't let him beat that guy already. Is he already better? Really? Could he already be better? And then they place you one spot behind him, almost grooming you for the next time you stand next to him.
Right, exactly. And it's happened in the sport. It's happened so many times, and it literally happened. That's what Flex Wheeler is they kept wanting to put him and just about to, and then when it was his time, then he just didn't come through. You know, Phil Heath's really the only person that kind of went from amateur straight to first call in the Olympia. And people need to understand that's not going to happen anymore, because I'm so tired of people saying, well, this person got first call at their first Olympia. Yeah, in the 90s, in the 80s and 70s, that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not. And it's actually bad business for bodybuilding to take someone out who maybe has another year or two left and put this new person in who's going to keep growing. You're just always going to keep thinking, well, he has so much more he could grow.
Yeah.
So let's put him in second and then let him stay hungry and then get bigger. And then before you know it, that person retires and then you're next in the running. I mean, they did it with Derek, you know, Lunsford. He just, when it was his time to nail it, he fucked it up.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. Shit, I'll take the pick. But the only way that that's going to happen is that they have to be off. And the people you're saying are going to be off are people that have never been off, like Bonac. Bonac's never been off. He might be flat, but... You know, so I have a chance that Big Ramy might play his same game and he'll come in off. Dexter's age could maybe mess him up and he could come off. I'm not saying that I'm not going. And that's the other thing, too. When I try to explain to my fans, I'll be like, well, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to go into the Arnold and win my first show. And I want to explain to them that a fourth place behind Big Ramy, Bonac, and Dexter is a win.
That's huge.
Win. That's so huge. Yeah. Not only is the money crazy, now I'm like top six in the world automatically. I play so well my first. So there's so many things I can name about how amazing that is. But when I say that, then they're like, well, yeah, you're not going to win with that attitude. Like, what do you think I'm doing? Because I know that I can't stand next to Big Ramy, that I'm like, you know what? I was actually going to do one more rep, but I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to win anyway. Like,
I think that's because That's the fantasy part of bodybuilding, the fantasy part of sport that I think the fans love, that they want to hear their favorite person go, I'm going to kill everybody, because they're kind of living through you, right?
You're right.
So when you say something as a realist or as like, you know, an educated bodybuilder and say, okay, you know, this and this has to occur for me to win, to somebody living in a fantasy or living through you because you're their motivation, they're like, well, that didn't motivate me.
Yeah.
That didn't motivate me at all. That kind of makes me feel shitty. It kind of makes me feel like he doesn't care. Because they don't understand that you're an educated professional bodybuilder and you're making a breakdown of a lineup.
Right.
Whereas they're just looking at you as their vehicle for motivation and, you know, their fantasy of what a great athlete is. You know what I mean? So when you don't say the things they want to hear, which I'm not saying you should, but that's probably why they get like weird about it, because they're like, well, that didn't sound really motivating.
Right. No, you're absolutely dead on. Yeah. And I never really even think about it that way too, because when I was growing up, and I used to message people too. I mean, it used to be in an email because we didn't have social media. But yeah, if they wrote back, actually, kid, I'm probably going to take probably the next 10 years before I can actually be in the running to the Olympia. You're going to be like,
yeah, I don't want to follow this guy anymore.
Yeah. I don't got 10 years to follow this guy.
So let's switch gears a bit, man. I just want to see if we can cover a little bit of what you did, because I, unlike other people, have been following you all year. And you were on the podcast earlier this year, dude. I've always been a fan of your physique ever since I met you. And then after New York, I was like blown away. So, but the size you put on this year is the spectacular part, not the conditioning. I already knew you'd get in shape, not the shape of your physique. I already knew it was there.
Which are neither me. One's genetics and one's aceto. So it's not even something I'm really doing. I mean, I'm suffering. I'm not cheating on my diet, of course. Yeah. But it's still aceto is bringing my condition in. And the shape is genetics. So what you're saying is right. The putting the weight on is all me. It has nothing to do with my dad.
What I think the toughest part about bodybuilding is, and I think where most amateurs go wrong, is not the fucking diet. Most amateurs go wrong because their off-season sucks because everybody takes their foot off the gas. But it looks to me over the course of the last year, you've done some amazing shit, because you look a lot bigger. I don't know what it's going to look like on stage, but you look a lot bigger.
Yeah, no, so, you're absolutely right. I used to say it all the time that how am I growing more in a prep on low carbs than I am in the off season when I can eat whatever I want. So it was a bunch of things. On a simple level, it was just that I realized and I'm trying to like force as much calories as possible into one meal. Like I used to look up top 10 places are the worst places to eat. And then I would go to those places. Like Outback's got these 3000 calorie fries, you know, and I bought this Russian Bear calorie shake. It's 5,000 calories, you know? So I'm just going so crazy with these shortcuts. Cause that's what they are. I'm trying to get as much in one meal, but then the problem is you're so full for the next 4 hours.
That's right. Eating.
And then I also realized too, I was born with a hernia and I have horrible acid reflux. Mm-hmm. So when I'm just pounding these horrible meals that really don't have much in them, exactly. So I'm fucking my stomach up so much that it's now shrinking. I have so much acid that I don't eat for so long. So I tried to get rid of that. But the biggest thing was just getting my life together. I got divorced. So that was, that probably put 5 pounds on immediately. Not during the process. During the process.
Wait a minute. The last time we talked, I don't think you were married were you married the last time we talked?
No. I was already done. Right.
So
we talked in the off season. So I was doing pretty good then.
And you were living in San Diego.
Oh, I just moved. I literally just moved. I'm here now. So I did that.
So you got divorced. And then
the divorce, obviously just the paperwork, but I mean like cutting everything off, not having that person in my life was the biggest thing. And then I just made a pact to myself that I need to figure out if this is for me or not. You know, you've seen it too. You see so many bodybuilders that are like, I'm going to make it one day. I'm going to be the best. They fucking divorce their wives. They quit their jobs, you know? And the whole time you're looking at them, you're like, bro, you're never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. So no matter what, even with my dad, you start to think, am I that guy?
Yeah.
You know, like, did I just happen to walk into a New York show and beat a couple, you know, medium level people? And I got this ring, but really deep down, I'm not that great of a bodybuilder. So to find out these answers, you need to just go all out. And then if you can't make it going all out, that's how you know this isn't for you. So I told myself what I'm going to do is exactly, I'm going to move. I moved away from everybody. And then I told myself, how many days in a row can I be perfect? And I think we mix up perfect and what's better than what you normally used to do. So I literally wanted to be perfect. Didn't miss a meal, didn't miss a workout. And exactly, sometimes shit happens and you will miss one, but then you start all over. So I would go X amount of days, X amount of weeks. And then if I fucked up, it starts all over. Now I got to beat that score. And that's what I did. I just wanted to see how many times I can actually go in a row, not messing it up. And I really think I messed up 3 or 4 times. One was just traveling to Olympia, you know, traveling and stuff like that. But otherwise it was just eat, sleep and train. Literally what we all say we do, but life does not let you do that.
Yeah. And it's funny. My best off season ever was exactly what you just described. That's when I realized the guys who get to the very top are the guys who have the least amount of bad days. It's not who's perfect. It's who just fucks up the least. Because everybody's going to fuck up a day where they miss a meal or whatever. They cheat on their diet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It sounds like your off season was just a culmination of how many great days could you have all together.
Right, you're going to lose sponsors. I lost my sponsors. You're going to lose friends. You know, so you have to know going into that, you have to have such a boring life. But then that's also will tell you too, if this isn't for you or not. Because if you think that life is boring, then this isn't for you.
I
loved it. I loved not having to worry about anything other than planning my meals around my gym. And I was lucky enough, you know, I was training with Eddie Bracamonte. You know, that's another thing too, is having a workout partner who will work around your schedule. It's very rare to have another pro, and he was prepping for his shows, and he was just the best person. Because the guy who is always late for the gym, that's me. I'm fucking that guy, you know? So usually I just get rid of workout partners because I don't want to force my meal. And now, right, all my acid reflux is all messed up. Or I don't want to make you late. So I usually just train by myself or with my best friend, which I have my whole career. So finally getting a workout partner that, man, he motivates me in the gym, but also his understanding of my schedule. So I was really thankful for that. This gym here in San Diego, I want to get you down here because, man, it is fucking one of the best gyms ever.
Yeah, I'd love to come out. I've been there. I've been there once. I love it down there.
It is. It's the best.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So that helped. You know, these are all bonuses. But I told myself, and then Cormier, you know. So then there was –
Where does Cormier come into play? Because I've only seen him the last couple weeks.
So me and Cormier got together in Wisconsin randomly when I lived in Chicago before I got my pro card.
Oh, this is way back.
So I went to Australia for a guest posing. It was my first guest posing. And I used to be like drama and shit in school, you know? And I always had this thing when I was done with drama, we had to go back to class, we'd do a round off the stage.
Okay.
And why now, 15 years later, I haven't done it since high school. Yeah. I want to do a round off the stage in Australia for my guest posing. I had to have weighed out like 100 pounds more than last time I did it. Where I land on my heels. And I remember thinking, well, whoa, I almost lost my balance. And I landed pretty hard on my heels. But I was like, oh, fuck it. At least I didn't fall. I ran around the state, you know, the seats and stuff, guest posing. Then I start to realize, man, my feet are starting to get really swollen.
Oh, no.
And getting worse and worse. And then I remember I went to dinner with Tony Doherty and Josh Nardowitz. And then my shoes were getting so tight, I took them off. And then it was time to go. I couldn't even put my shoes back on. My feet were so swollen. And I tried to stand up, and I couldn't even put any pressure on my heels. I fucking shattered one of them.
No
way.
The
other one was so messed up. And this was 5 weeks before Nationals. So, you know, and I tell the people this story all the time because Josh is, like, the best. So I'm over here, and now in my hotel room, like, what a fucking idiot. Like, I'm that guy, you know. And now I just messed it up 5 weeks before. I can't walk. He comes to my room. He's like, man, we got to get, you know, you got to eat. And I'm like, man, I can't walk. So there's a video of Josh literally picking me up on his shoulder, walking me around downtown Melbourne in Australia, taking me to get food. And somehow I come back to the States. I have both my feet in these buckets the whole night. And of course, the plane ride makes him swell up even more. And I land, I look like the Nutty Professor. I'm crying. I'm like, man, that's it. I just messed up. Because I had just got second at USA's.
Yeah.
So I'm in line to win Nationals. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe just it's what I keep doing. And I'm worried that this time, this prep, I have no problem. So it's going to be the first time I see if this is true or not. I think I actually only do well when shit hits the fan. So somehow something got over me. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do – luckily, my legs were my best body part.
Yeah.
So I didn't do any legs. But I was doing the hand bike, everything I could till Nationals. And man, like – so long story short, now Cormier wants to train in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't want to pass this up, but I had my ankles wrapped and everything. So I just drove out to Wisconsin and trained with him. He never even knew. And I'm just doing all like the presses and stuff on my toes and stuff.
Oh, you were training legs.
Yeah. I wasn't going to waste that. I wasn't going to waste that with him, you know? And he just brought it up the other day because he was telling somebody about it. And I completely forgot it. So he talked about it that I didn't even tell him until we were done. And so we trained together in Wisconsin, and then I won Nationals. I won the overall and got my pro card. And all that had happened. Every time I do well, there's always these horrible nightmares that were going on in the background. And I always ask myself, like, is this what everybody else is doing?
No.
Like, pulling shit out of my ass. And it is. No one's doing it.
Well,
no
one's, everything, like, everybody's got hiccups in their prep, but it seems like you have, like, ultimate turmoil. And then you somehow get through it. But I was going to say, it could be why you might look so good this time is because you just, maybe you needed the freedom of not having any bullshit.
I think the cutting part, I can turn it on and I'm just going to go all out. You know, I never cheat on my diet. If I cheat, it's probably because I had a couple peanuts. That's literally the extent of me ever cheating. Yeah. I just feel like, man, I had a full ride scholarships to a bunch of sports. You know, I was a top swimmer and track and football. And I passed all that up to be a pro bodybuilder. No one believed in me. And now if I'm going to cheat on my diet or fuck it up, when I don't have tests, I don't have midterms, I don't have exams, I just have one or two times a year, I got to fucking turn it on. So when it's time for me to diet, man, I'm on it. But it doesn't help you. It doesn't matter how strong-minded you are. You can't put weight on. That's science. It doesn't matter. If you have cortisol, stomach issues, digestion issues, you're not going to put weight on. So I can turn it on to cut all day, but I cannot have these things in my life going on and gain weight. And so that's what I changed this time. So I messaged Chris that I finally got my life together and moved out.
When was that? When did you message Chris?
We've been talking back and forth for a while now and trying to get him. These Kuwait guys have so much fucking money.
Yeah.
So back to when I won my pro card with Chris, he's the one who told me to move out to California. He's like, man, if you move out to California, I'll find you a place to live and a job and blah, blah, blah. And man, I literally packed my car and I drove out. I was going to move in with, again, followers probably don't even know, Kathy LeFrancois.
Okay.
So bodybuilder back in the day. And I was going to move in. I was going to move in with her in her house. And then like, I'm driving from Chicago to California and then having a conversation with her. And I'm like, oh, blah, 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 about my dog. She's like, you have a dog? We've had several conversations about my dog playing with her dog. And now all of a sudden, there's no dog that can be allowed there. So I'm driving to California to find out, nope, you can't live here anymore. So I have no place to live. So luckily, I called this guy I knew in California. He found me at some random spot in Long Beach.
Yeah.
So I moved into Long Beach. And So now I get to California. I'm like, whatever, I made it. Now I'm going to train with Cormier and we're going to do this. And then we train a couple times. Kuwait calls and he leaves. He literally just And it was just one of those things, man. I don't have 10 grand to pay this guy to train me. Right. So I can't even get mad that he's going to go for this money. And then,
yeah, of course.
And then when he went, look what it turned into. Then it was Rami, Rolly, Nathan, Brandon. Then he was stuck out there for years, you know? Yeah. So then we didn't work together. So I'd seen him, you know, every now and then at shows, and we'd always said about how we're going to get back together. So we've been texting back and forth. But I think right before the Olympia, I had said, hey, I'm really serious about, and I was only messaging him about posing.
Yeah.
So training and stuff like that, like every pro can be better. No one is perfect, but I suck at my mandatories. It's so crazy that I'll do a routine all day.
Your routines are good. Yeah.
But knowing the little nicks and things and tricks with your mandatories, besides the conditioning, I'm the worst. I'm such a fucking amateur. And it was something that really bothered me. Aceto sent me a video of Tampa last year just to kind of motivate me. And you could see, man, I'm just like not even holding my poses. I barely hold my breath. And I just messaged Chris to say, I need you to fix that for me because I'm trying to show up with at least 10 pounds difference. And you're still going to look like shit when you're huge and now still don't look like a professional.
You can't pose. Yeah. Yeah.
So I had messaged him, hey, can you come out and just do that? And then that led into that he was just going to move in with me and we were going to train. And that's what we've been doing. So it's going to be about 8 weeks total since he's been here to the Arnold.
So Chris is living with you right now?
Yeah, he's been here for the last 7 weeks, 6 weeks. Yeah.
All right, so tell me what that's like, because you must have been a fan of Chris. Coming up. I mean, I think we all were.
Oh, man, absolutely. I studied this guy.
Do you wake up and go, Chris Cormier is living in my house and I'm training with him? Like, is it register or is it not registering yet?
He's so chill and so cool. And he's like, actually just like, it would be like, if you were here, it would be like, it's just one of my boys. So I don't look at him like that. When Tom Platz lived with me in Venice, that was more like,
yeah.
Is he right there on the couch?
That's like, Tom. That's Tom,
right? You know? So, and again, I say this all the time. Who's lived with a Mr. Olympia, Tom Platz, and Chris Cormier, you know, like I'm so blessed for sure. It's been so cool. Yeah. But no, he really is the same as me. Like, he's a night owl. He's very chill. He's very monotone. There's like no issues because, one, I don't want anyone to be around me when I'm prepping in my house. Yeah. And two, people don't want to be around people that are prepping. No. You know, you're just in a pity mood and just sometimes, you know, you're just not your best. And it's been amazing. It's been really cool. Like, we'll literally go to the gym. He'll destroy me until I'm going to throw up, pose for hours, come back. We just smoke and play video games. You know, it's just like a really cool. And then we'll go back to the gym and then he'll run me through it again. And it's been the best experience going into this. And if I had to pick between the training and the posing and all the things that he's helping me with, keeping me chill and calm is probably the thing that I actually think is going to help me the most at the Arnold, because I'm all good while I'm here at my house. But for some reason, soon I go backstage, Fawad, man, I'm just like a mess. And all of a sudden, it's like the whole year comes down to these 3 minutes that I'm going to be on stage. And then everyone's taking their clothes off. And I'm still that guy where it's like, holy shit, that guy's fucking huge.
Yeah.
So, and that's where I blow it. And my body like whittles away. I can't get a pump. I'm holding water. So I think just knowing that I have him there to kind of keep me chill, I already know I'm not even worried about it going to the show. So that's been the best part.
I think, I don't think people put enough stock in how important that is, because like that person for me was John Meadows. Mm. Because for me, every week that goes by, it gets a little more tense for me. For me, I'm not like fine until I get backstage. For me, it's like once the 4 week mark hits, I start to get like that nervous energy, right? And 3, 2, 1, it gets worse and worse and worse. For some reason, John can just talk me down and keep me like cool and not worried about it and everything. And those were the best shows I ever did, because I could, you know, when you get nervous and shit, it's like you said, you start retaining water, maybe you eat something you shouldn't have eaten, I'm not full enough, I should have more carbs. And John was always that voice of reason. So if you have that now, that's incredible. I mean, going into the biggest show of your life, right?
Yeah, I think I always said this too, is that I have this theory that as long as they train well, of course, you have to bust your ass in the gym, the cockiest bodybuilders are actually the best. you know, and take Dexter, for an instance. When he's back there, he's so chill. Nothing's raising his levels. Yeah. His walk, he is just...
Dude, when he walks out on stage, it's like he's half asleep.
It's so true. Like, all right, you know, I'm clocking into work, and then that's... Yeah. But you also had to have killed it over and over and over again to know when you're on, when you're not. So I know that you had... They earned that, you know? Branch was another one. Branch... they're always on. They never really off. And I think that has a lot to do with stuff that has nothing to do with anything you take, nothing you lift, nothing you eat. It's just your actual, like, in the person inside of you. Yeah. And when you can just be, you don't have to be cocky, but you have to be so confident backstage that it actually probably starts pulling more water out of you and you actually start to look better. Whereas opposed to where you're freaking out and you're like, oh my God, this isn't ready and this could be better. Yeah.
That happened to me one time in 20 fucking years. One time I did the Flex Pro with Hani in 2011. And I remember standing backstage and Dexter was there and Evan Santapani competed there and Dennis Wolf was there, but I didn't give a shit. I was like, this is the best I've ever looked and the best I'm ever going to look, or it's the most I could have done to look this good for this show.
Yeah. I've never had that.
Yeah, that was the only time I was able to walk out and actually, and you could see it in my posing routine. I'm confident. I'm like smiling. I'm like, but it only happened one fucking time in 20 fucking years. And it's true. It's like what you said, but I think sometimes confidence comes down to preparation too. You know, when you're backstage and you know that you've done everything right, you did everything right. You trained your ass off. You know, you ate all the meals, didn't cheat, blah, blah. Your off season was crazy. I think you have more confidence. That's why I think Branch has that confidence. I know what you're talking about because I've seen Branch backstage at the Arnold standing in front of that mirror. Because at the Arnold, there's one fucking mirror.
Oh, God.
And there used to be anyway. And everybody would take turns kind of standing in front of it. And this is like before you walk out. There's other mirrors in the other area, but before the walkout, there's one mirror. And Branch would always be in front of that mirror. He didn't give a fuck who else wanted to be in front of it. But he knew... It's like you could tell he knew he was there and he knew he was on. And I think it's because he just dedicates so much to it that you have to have confidence at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you've really dedicated everything you have to something, then you should have more self-esteem, more confidence going into the show and with yourself and what you've done. So I don't know. I feel like you're going to have a different experience backstage, man, because you've kind of dotted all the I's and crossed all your T's.
Oh, yeah, man. I have not fucked up one time. And also, too, and the same thing that's actually calming me down is this is what I said, is that, look, now I did. I cut off everyone in my life. I've done nothing but be perfect on my prep. Now I call it Chris Squared. I got Chris Aceto and Chris Cormier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both. You know, it's how lucky am I, too, to have – because Aceto, man, he has been going all out since we started this prep. I feel like because he knows personally what I went through and that dark depression that I was going through, he wants this for me so good that, man, for the last year, he's been having me send pics every 2 days for a year. Yeah. And then, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 weeks out, it was every day. I send pictures every day. There's no coach that does that.
Yeah,
you can tell he is just on it. And then Cormier... I know he looks at me like I'm a son already just because of the relationship we've had. But if you're going to tell me that this guy who has the most second places is now going to be able to help someone to be able to maybe one day win the Arnold. Yeah. If you see how Chris trains, his facial expressions, he's almost lifting with me. Yeah. He's so adamant about it. So I have Chris Squared. I have the right atmosphere, the right gym. If I don't do well, then this isn't for me.
And well, that's no, not, that's, don't go that far. That's not totally true.
But if you can have everything perfect and you fuck it up.
Well, the sad thing about bodybuilding is you can have everything be 100% and it only takes, you know, one miscalculation.
It doesn't mean. No. Yeah. I don't mean trust me. Cause that's what I keep telling people because they're like, man, you look amazing. I always look amazing. A couple weeks out. My problem is as soon as I start to cut water.
Yeah.
Right. That's my thing. So yeah, I'm still waiting to see, but we've already pre-planned that. We're already going to, now for the first time, we're going to do something different we've never done. So I'm excited to try that out, but I don't mean that.
You know you know what I find crazy? That you, being you, as good as you are, still don't feel like you belong here. That's just fucking insane to listen to you say that. I mean, it's good to have that kind of humility And it's good to have that kind of expectation of yourself. But at some point you have to look and go, yeah, I think I belong here. Like,
I think I could, and I had the potential, and that's why I'm doing this. I think that I could be what this sport is looking for. I feel like I was just talking to Dan Solomon earlier today, and everyone's excited about the new owner of the Olympia, you know, and people have been kind of a little stale. And I actually feel bad for Phil, because he was the face of the Olympia for those many years. It almost was like his fault when it's not his fault. But no matter what, the Olympia's been, I mean, the bodybuilding's been a little stale, a little boring. And I, with Arnold bashing it and all these other past pros bashing it, I feel like they're looking for someone who's maybe in between, you know? They're not going to be a Dorian and a Ronnie, but at the same point, they're going to still be 5'11", 280 plus.
They're going to be big, and yeah. Eight,
right. And I feel like bodybuilding is looking for this person that can fill all the criteria as close as possible.
I can agree with that.
And I used to get really mad at myself. I used to be like, man, I wish I was born earlier. I could have been competing in the 90s with the lights and all this. I've been saying it probably until about a couple of years ago when I started to realize actually it's quite the opposite. I think my timing is going to be perfect. Yeah. And if I can just do my job for the next 2 or 3 years, I feel like I can not only do well and be one of the top people, but I think I can change the future of the sport too. And just a lot of little things that we're losing a lot of touch with the sport. And just, I feel like bodybuilding is losing class and it's losing respect. Because of the fitness industry and social media, open bodybuilding is losing a lot of respect. And that's something that I want to change in the sport. So if I could do this sport for the next 10 years and I don't win the Olympia, but they say now we, you know, they dress different, we do routines different, we carry ourselves different. Like when I watched Ronnie Coleman go on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, I almost wanted to quit bodybuilding right then. Just, man, how he was talking, it was like, oh, my God, this is the representation of our whole sport. And his body was, you know, amazing. But he did, like, a snap away. All his clothes came off, like a stripper. And then he's just almost on Jay Leno's table hitting a pose. And guess what? Yeah. A bodybuilder was never asked ever again to be on The Tonight Show after that. And I feel like we do need someone who is a good ambassador of the sport. And Phil has been that, you know, someone we can put in movies and we can have him, you know, next to The Rock and stuff like that and take the sport maybe to another level. But at the same point too, I feel like we're not us, but the sport is concentrating so much trying to make bodybuilding mainstream that we're so focused on it that we really need to just not care that much, because the real bodybuilding fans are going to keep the sport going. You know what? If The Rock doesn't want to do our sport or CBS doesn't want to air us, because remember the Olympia was going to be aired on CBS. Yeah. And then what happened to that shit? You know, and it's like we keep, so I just feel like at the same point, I want to put us into new avenues that we might not be in, but at the same point, fuck them. We don't need them. We don't.
It's funny. I'm actually kind of glad you said that, because I've kind of enjoyed the fact that bodybuilding is a little bit of a cult. I feel like once we opened it up to everybody else, and don't get me wrong, I like having the other classes, but I kind of like what you said at the beginning of the podcast, which was, it's different. It's just different. It's different than just all the other fitness classes and all that. It's not the same thing. And I feel like in an effort to try and make it mainstream, we've lumped this like cult extreme thing and we're trying to force it. And it's like, it's just not, I agree with you 100%. It's not supposed to be mainstream. What we do is a little bit fucking nuts. Exactly. So
it's really nuts. And if you've never done a show, you know, because I tell people all the time, if you've never been to a show, or you've never even done a show, like you could do a novice show. You could do an amateur novice show, but at least you've done some time in your life where you had to cut things out of your life. And then the only thing holding you accountable is your own head. That's something that there's no sport. There's no sport where you score points, where no one's around. And I do it too. Sometimes it's so funny. Like my mind goes so crazy. I'll literally be like, I confuse, like I'll be in a restaurant and I'll even see someone else's food. And it's like, man, I could totally just take one of those fries, you know? But it's like, it doesn't even make sense. It's almost like, because I didn't buy it, my brain's thinking, well, that's not the same.
It's not your,
I could just take it. And it sounds so stupid to people that have probably never prepped, because you can also prep, but you can also go to a level where you do go a little psycho and you do need someone to kind of keep. That's why when people say that they prep themselves for shows fully over and over again, I don't believe it, because I feel like you either need to be so depleted that your brain doesn't work and you need someone literally walking you around, or you do have enough mental capacity that you're still making decisions, that means you're not dieted down enough.
That means it's not, I kind of know what you mean. Yeah. I think even people that don't have coaches have somebody with an eye there for them. You know what I mean? It's not like, I know Dorian Yates talks about how he coached himself all his career and everything. And he did. I'm not saying he didn't, but he must have had a training partner or somebody there to say, you're on the right track. Everything's going the way it should be. You know what I mean? Not
a non-yes man. That's what I say all the time. You have to have a non-yes man in your life. And I think that's why everyone, how I know who competes, they always message me because I'm going to be the first guy to be like, no, bro, you look like shit. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're out of your mind. You know, but you do. You need, I would rather have someone, and there are bodybuilders, not to throw my boy Cody under the bus, but I've been trying to get Cody Montgomery to come out here and train because he used to train with Cormier all the time.
Yeah.
But the way Cormier is, he's the same way too. He'll take Cody through his posing and he'll say to him, well, what do you think? But don't tell me anything if you think it's bad. Like,
what's the point then?
Well, right, exactly. But I think him, and that was his biggest downfall. I'm so glad that he did well in Romania, I think he went to.
Yeah.
Because you can also do really well for a long time in the sport and never lose. And that actually is your downfall. And it's going to actually make you stop competing completely. If you've never lost and you keep winning and you keep winning, and that's what he did. He never lost a show his entire life. He's beating adults as a teenager. Then he's like, you know what? I'm going to go to the Arnold. So you think because you won team collegiate and then you got first place at USA's that you can go to the Arnold. And then guess what? You got like 16th place. It like blew his mind. And then he started going through all these, like, maybe this isn't for me. And he disappeared and didn't compete anymore. Where I bet you if he had got his ass handed to him earlier on, that Arnold wouldn't have psyched him out so much. And
that's,
I think,
right.
some people need someone in their life. They don't have to be as much of a savage as me, but just someone where it's not your mom saying, you know, because everyone's mom is like, you're the best. And if you just have those people, then you get up on stage, and when you're not the best, you're gonna blame the judges, you're gonna blame politics, you're gonna blame everything in the world, rather than, man, if someone had just told me, you know, your glutes look like shit, you probably should have got on them 2 or 3 times more a week. That makes a difference. So yeah, not having a yes man, it doesn't have to be a coach, but just someone like that in your life is definitely a necessity.
Well, it's hard because your perception can be very skewed, right? If you're on Instagram and you post a picture and you get 500 people or 50 people even, or even 10 people, you look amazing. This is the greatest I've ever seen anybody look, and I want to look like you, and you're my fucking idol. After a while, especially if you've never lost a show, your perception can start to become skewed, and maybe you think you're better than you really are. Like, I would have never advised somebody to go into the Arnold for their very first show. Doesn't matter who it is. I'd have been like, dude, do another show, you know, do a smaller show, fucking win, crush it, move on. Just kind of stand next to the guys first.
Right.
Because once you stand next to them, you're like, holy fuck, this is not at all what I thought. It doesn't look like this on fucking, on a TV or on a phone. These people are fucking enormous. Yeah, going to the biggest show, I mean, the Olympia is the only thing bigger. Going to the Arnold, the very first show, is probably not a good choice for anybody.
Yeah, I think there should be a rule. I think there should be a rule that nobody should be able to even bash a bodybuilder or even comment on a show unless you've been to one pro show in your entire life. Because you have no idea.
You can't do that. You can't.
Of course not. You can't do anything to read it. But you have no idea what stature is. You have no idea when you can look at Lee Priest by himself and that guy is fucking perfect, and you put him next to Gunter, you know, who's not, he's not body part by body part
better. Aesthetically perfect, no.
Right.
Yeah.
But man, it is a completely different stature, and just you're just taking in a completely different show. And when you catch yourself not being able to keep looking away from someone, that's bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. And that's why back in the day they had the short class and the tall class, and that's why we do have 212 and whatnot. But in the open, if you've never been to approach it, you just don't know.
I think it's funny you say that. I've told the story before, but I think you're 100% right, actually, now that I think about it, because I did a show in Toronto and Victor came to the show at last minute. Victor ended up winning and I took second. And a lot of people after the show were like, you should have beat him. You should have beat him. And I'm like, you're looking at pictures, man. Pictures are 2D. Victor is fucking 3D. I'm like, it's not like Victor is round upon round upon round. And just because my shoulders are the same width, it doesn't mean I'm as muscular. Like, you had to be there to see how thick he was, like front to back, not shoulders, you know what I mean? And it's actually exactly what you're saying is, had somebody gone to that show and saw it live and saw what the people looked like live, it's a completely different thing. You can't make that judgment without actually seeing it once in your life.
Yeah, that's why I hate the Olympia staying in Vegas, because when you used to travel and be Atlanta, Chicago, New York, even if maybe you can't afford to go all the way to Vegas, it might come to your hometown and you might buy a ticket. Even if you don't know anyone who's doing it, you might go and then it might change your life.
Yeah, but don't you think it makes it like a spectacle, like a, you know, the grand show that it's in Vegas?
Yeah, if it wasn't at the Orleans.
That's true. That part I agree.
It was at Mandalay Bay, and they would come out, and the stage literally was as big as probably the whole hotel as Orleans.
Yeah.
Remember the backgrounds? They would look like medieval,
Roman Colosseums and shit.
My God! Right, exactly. And we're never gonna get that back. Dan did tell me today. I don't even know if I can even say this, but he did say that they are trying to change that part of bodybuilding. Maybe not necessarily move it, but yeah, man, like. Things would come from the ground, the O would spin, they'd come out, you know, down the stairs.
I remember that, yeah.
And now it's just like, they just walk out.
Yeah, no, I know. I have kept you for like over an hour now, and I know you're dieting, so I don't want to keep you too much longer.
No, you're good. No, and I was going to tell you too, when you're calling me, asking me if I'm good, if you literally call me on the phone and we had this conversation on the phone, it's not taking me away from my diet. So the only difference is we're filming it.
I just know when I'm in prep, I have like a very, like I'll be great, and then it can turn like that. Like 1 minute I'd be fine, and then like all of a sudden I'm tired and I just want to like go lay down.
Yeah, if you were like I'm not gonna name any people's
show. Don't name anybody.
If it was just some random show that I was on, and
you got like, enough. You got enough fucking heat on your side. Just leave it alone. So anyway, listen.
That's what I say. Put it on my tab.
What? Okay. Listen. Honestly, though. And I don't want you to make any predictions, but where do you feel
like? I'll do a prediction. I can do predictions. I don't care.
You don't have to do. All I'm asking you is, I feel like every real bodybuilder has a sense of where they could be, where they will end up being, and all that. So all I'm asking is, when you're laying there at night before you go to bed and you're kind of thinking about everything, do you feel like you can win, or do you feel like, you know, they're going to make you wait, or what do you like, where do you see yourself kind of is what I'm trying to say.
No, there's no way that I'm going to win the Arnold the first time. There's just not.
I wouldn't say there's no way,
man, but
I don't want to put shit in your head, but I think if there is a show where people can upset other people, it's this show, not the Olympia.
No, you're right. Because Arnold may pick someone maybe a little bit more aesthetically pleasing over someone who's maybe a bigger. And then your posing does get points. It's not only the 10 grand.
That's true.
It does add to your points. So I'm going to get those points for sure. I'm not even thinking about that because I really feel like, Big Ronnie did what I did. He got away from the toxic part of his life, the people forcing him to maybe do things he didn't want to do. Yeah. And he's probably sick and tired of hearing how he's not conditioned. Him still posting fake pictures, I still don't get that. Like,
why is he posting fake pictures? What do you mean?
Well, he's been doing that for years. He did it again. That back double by that he posted.
Oh, it's not legit?
It's in Bader's office.
Oh, I didn't even realize
that. And maybe he's doing it like I did it when I did New York just to prove that people don't follow me and they're so stupid. And I wanted to show who's not my real fans. Because if I'm posting the same picture I posted before, that means you wouldn't follow me when I posted them before. So maybe he's doing it because he posted a picture, he's in Bader's office. We know he's not been in Kuwait, so that's not true. Then he just posted that other selfie with that other guy. And he's got like a Amish beard. It's like very thin at the bottom. And that's not what he looks like right now. And people are just like, oh my God, you see his diet face?
Yeah.
So except for the videos where he's wearing dragon are the only real ones. And I think he... So what I was getting to is I think he did the same thing I did. I think he got on it. And I think,
went back to the drawing board?
I think Rami is going to win. I think he's sick and tired of not only the people talking shit about him, but he has such a huge following from like people like in Egypt and stuff like
everywhere, that. Everywhere, yeah, in the Middle East.
He made an apology post for getting fifth at the Olympia or sixth. Like, one that shows how fucked up social media is, but two, it shows what kind of person he is too, and he actually does take the shit to heart. So I actually think Rami's gonna win. I think Bonac's gonna take second. I saw Dexter, and he's better than Tampa, and this is just where his legs are better, and that's all he had to fix. And I feel like if a 50-year-old man shows up better than what he did at those last two shows, you have to reward him. You have to.
That's true.
And come on. Like, people can be on social media and wish that Patrick's going to win and all these people that are their favorites that they're going to win all they want. But this guy just announced that he's doing his last Olympia. You're telling me the sport is going to be like, cool story, but we're going to put you in sixth place. and you look better than you did last year? See, that's the difference between me and people that don't know the sport. That's never going to happen. Bodybuilding is, they do it. Look, when Jay came back after he lost and he probably should have got seventh place, they gave him fourth. When Ronnie came back and he looked like crap with his hair, they gave him fourth. Rewards people who have given their lives to this sport, and they should. And Dexter, I think, is going to get third. And then this is where bodybuilding is going to be starting for that Arnold, is if I can beat Kuklo, who is in Cabo dieting. I don't know how he's in Cabo.
What do you mean he's in Cabo? What are you talking about? He's vacationing right now?
No, he's doing business. You know this guy. He's always running some kind of business. You know, he's such a good businessman. But he was just in Cabo. So if you can go to Cabo and diet, you know, and he's probably more dedicated on vacation than some of us are at our house. Yeah. But still, you can beat me when you're in Cabo. Again, this isn't for me. So I think I can beat Kuklo. Cedric, I think there's no way in hell you're gonna leave Aceto and you're going to look better. That's just how I feel. Yeah. And he hasn't. He hasn't since. He has not looked better since he's left him. So if I can beat Kuklo and Cedric, then that means I get fourth.
Who else is there? What about Josh Lenarowitz? Or what about What about that big fucker that just turned pro? I shouldn't say big fucker.
He's doing Australia.
I didn't mean it in a derogatory way. What's his name? Blessing? No, not Blessing.
Oh, you're talking about that dude who literally won the Arnold Amateur?
Yeah, Morgan. Or is it Morgan?
Oh, come on. That guy, he doesn't have one shredded glute to save his life.
Sergio, you're fucking hilarious. You just don't give a shit, do you?
I'll tell you this right now. If Bajecki shows up, the same Bajecki he's always been, and he beats me, I'm going to retire on stage right now.
I like Lionel a lot.
I love him. I think he's a walking Mr. Olympia for the last 5 years. And in fact, I actually am starting to dislike him because he's making me so mad that he could be our Mr. Olympia, and he just will not do one glute kick or one goddamn leg curl downstairs.
Yeah. Isn't it upsetting when you see a guy that has Flex Wheeler genetics? I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he just doesn't know how to get in shape. I don't know if his conditioning, I don't know if it's coach. I don't know genetic.
I know what it is.
All I know is Lionel has always had one of my favorite physiques ever in bodybuilding.
It's almost perfection, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the same thing that happened with a lot of these guys that are in different countries. They're surrounded by yes men. They don't have someone saying, Bajecki, you're out of your mind. Lose a couple pounds. Get these things shredded. And you know how bodybuilders we go through that, oh my God, I'm getting too small and stuff like that. And him and Big Ramy, I think when they go through that, then they either eat or whatever it is, they don't keep pushing further. Yeah. So because he's always going to be prepping out in his country, he's never going to be better. Look at Rafael Brandaro. He's another guy. He's walking perfection too.
Beautiful physique, yeah.
But it wasn't until he came to Florida and is surrounded by people like Flex or De La Rosa that would be like, no, bro, you need to get on it. That now all of a sudden he's looking the best he's ever going to be.
So
I think while these guys are still stuck in other countries where they're only surrounded by yes men, they're never going to be able to get to that mental level to be shredded.
Can you beat Josh? What about Nathan? What about Nathan?
What did Nathan start his diet? Like 2 weeks ago? If Nathan beats me and he's been dying for 6 weeks, I'm retiring on stage. There's no way.
You should stop saying you're gonna retire. What if this happens?
Someone's gonna call me out.
Someone's gonna clip this fucking thing out and be like, "This is what you said, motherfucker." No, Nathan just posted some photos. He's peeled. I thought, are those recent?
Peeled? No, he's only posted.
I saw somebody.
The back double by, that's fake.
I don't follow him, but somebody reposted something that I follow.
Yeah, that's when he was with Jensen. That's at a different place.
Oh, it's not the same.
That's in America. That's not in America. It's in the UK. It's in the UK, and he's in Kuwait.
So we got. Let's see who else there's.
No, Nathan, Josh.
Josh could be very, very impressive.
Josh is really good because. So my only thing that I get people on is height. So standing next to people, that's why in New York I felt like I was able to pull it out because.
Yeah, but Josh is isn't Josh 5'11" or 6 foot?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Josh, Cedric, and Kuklo were all the same height.
Oh, okay.
So it's really going to be in those four people who nails it. And I'll tell you this, Josh, went through a lot of shit. And I know he hears all the shit that people are talking.
Oh yeah.
And I now he has, I mean, I don't have a kid, so I have no idea, but I know he has a new motivation. And I know in the back of his head, he's starting to do the, everyone who has a kid does the same thing. They start to have to pick between spending time with their kid or their career. And if you're going to take time away from your kid and the career, it needs to be flourishing. So yeah. I already know he's on that cusp of, if this doesn't work out in the next year or two, he's going to be done. Because when I met Josh, the first time I went to Australia, when he carried me, he told me he was going to stop bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Because bodybuilding was so hard out there. It's just not, no one sponsors him. It's so hard to get anything. So back then he was about to quit. And then look, he won the San Marino and all those other shows, the Ferrigno, and he killed it. So I think with the surgery and having a kid, it's either going to be the best or the worst him. And I hope it's the best. I hope it is, because he's easily one of the best people in this sport.
If you guys are both at your best, I'm going to make it an objective prediction. If you're both at your best, he's very impressive, but I think your shape will carry you past. If you've put on the amount of muscle I think you have.
Yeah, I put it in the right areas. So
yeah.
So in the back poses, I would beat him. And then that's bodybuilding right there.
Yeah.
So
you're like, that's it. I win. okay. That's everybody. I mean, we got Patrick Moore. Akeem Williams got a shit ton of muscle if he can bring it down.
I've already beat Akeem, and I'm only better now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no. And Patrick, so Patrick's probably my best friend in bodybuilding. That's a pro currently competing. Okay. But Patrick has got a lot of hype for competing in an Olympia that nobody was in. And this is what I've been saying. And again, people are going to bash me and they're going to try and turn us against each other. But if you add the four people that were missing in the Olympia back into last year's, Patrick gets the same place I got at the Olympia, which is last place. You're in 15th now. Mm. So us keep talking about how Akeem got 9th, Patrick got 10th, or whatever that does. It's irrelevant, and it's so weird how we pick and choose. And
who are the four people? Phil, Rami,
Sean,
and, Kai. You're thinking Kai?
Right. Yeah, it was somebody else, right?
Yeah, Kai's not going to come back. So we say 3.
Mm-hmm.
Kai's never coming back.
No matter what, you have to add 3 places, at least minimum, to everybody's placings, and they're all bumped back. That means you went from top 10 to mediocre.
Yeah.
But him, his potential in the future is what I think people should be talking more about, because I don't want people to keep telling Patrick he's going to win the Arnold, because I don't want him to be a Cody, and I don't want him to start believing it and go in. And then if he gets 5th or 6th, which is amazing, I don't want him to think that that's a letdown, because he literally almost lost the Cal. I was at the Cal. Yeah. And people probably can't even remember the guy who got 2nd place, but that guy's got a lot of potential too. It's like,
who was the guy who took 2nd? Do you remember?
He's like a pretty blonde guy. I forget, he's from another country, and his legs are stupid insane. But right, he almost beat Patrick. It was very close. So he had lost. He would have never went to the Olympia. No one would have been talking about him. So I want people to understand the real variables of bodybuilding, and I want Patrick to go into it understanding that even if he gets 5th or 6th, that is so huge. Not only is the prize money it's better than any show, exactly, you're still getting better every show, and that's how I feel. As long as you're getting better every show, then that's fine. You don't have to live up to other people's expectations, because they're so bored in bodybuilding that they're always rooting for the guy, you know, climbing the hill.
Yeah. All right.
There's no way they're going to beat me.
So what, if you don't win, what's next? Because you're obviously, your goal this year is the Olympia, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go no matter what. I've qualified for the Olympia every single time I've competed.
Okay, so but this year, but at the Arnold, you have to win to qualify.
Well, Luke did it.
Yeah, but Luke had to do another show to make sure he had not enough points. But
did he have to? I thought he just did that just so he didn't have to worry about it. I'm glad that he did, because that battle with Dexter was good. But I don't think he had to. I think once the points came out. Oh no! I think whoever, if he didn't.
No. You're right. But if one of the, I think it was Josh Wade. If Josh Wade had placed a certain place,
right,
then he would have bounced Luke out.
But I'm doing Australia automatically, so that's already.
So you think those two will get you enough points?
I hope so, because that means then if I can get 4th at both of those, that should do it enough. But if not, I live right here in the Cal. I should do the Cal. It's right here in my backyard. I've never prepped for a show at my house before. I think that would be really cool and very relaxing. But no matter what, guaranteed, I will be at this Olympia.
All right. What about Athleticon? Any plans for Athleticon?
No.
I don't even know how people qualify for that or get invited to that. But
Exactly. What's the criteria for it? It's just like, is it an invitation? And then what are you just, you're cool to the Rock? You're cool. Fuck you. I want that trial and error to go on without me, because if I make it to the Olympia by then, I'm already going to be trying to take a break and get back on what I did this last year.
Yeah. So how many days out are we right now?
2 weeks and 3 days. But who's counting?
You're probably counting the fucking minutes at this point.
All right. You know what I do? You know, I was going to say it when you're getting down to 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out. I don't do that. I count how many body parts I have left. That's when it freaks me out.
I do that too.
And I'm like, oh my God, I only have 3 more leg days. Holy shit.
I think every bodybuilder does that though. When you get to the end, you're like, you know how many days it is? You know how many body parts you have left? You know how many fucking meals? You break it down. Are you ready? Because the worst part for me is always like coasting at the very last week or two.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm getting them early. So it sucks, dude.
It's like a waiting game. You're like, can I just finish?
Maybe it's the first, you know, I don't know. Well, I sent him pictures today, and then he said that he's going to give me a super high day, carb day. So that's how I know I'm way ahead if he's giving me super high day.
Send me some photos so I can leak them for you.
Yeah, right. You're out of your mind. because that's another thing that I wanted to do. I have this theory in bodybuilding.
Yeah.
That you're never going to be able to live up to your pictures. Never. No matter what, the judges are human. So if I post you a picture with the best timing, the best pump, the best angle, when you walk on stage, you could even be better, but you're not going to live up to that picture. So it's going to be a letdown.
That's what I've been doing wrong all my fucking career. I post all the fucking pictures after my workouts when I'm fucking swole as fuck.
I dry.
In the locker room, sweat out all the water, and then take a photo.
And then you got to show you're nervous as fuck, holding on to water, covers on levels high as fuck.
That's what I fucking did wrong. See?
Yeah, so this is my first show. I'm not posting any pictures, and I want to see. I'm doing the Dorian Yates way. I actually hate
that
all this hype started, because I was really wanting to just go right into the show, no one talking about me.
I didn't want anybody to talk about you either. I just wanted to have you on my show, and then all of a sudden you did like 4 other ones. What the fuck?
No, I didn't do any shows. I just did the Jay Cutler.
The Jay Cutler one. Yeah, but that blew you up a little bit. People were like,
I wanted people to see Chris and me doing it together. I think that was really cool. It also helped him out. I want to help him out as much as I can.
No, it's cool. I think it's cool what you're doing, because even though I'm the kind of person that thinks posting pictures is cool because it brings fans in, like, to your prep while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I also think it's really cool to be that guy that's also like, you know, I'll show an arm here, I'll show an arm there. But you don't get to see the full shit until the day of the show.
Now, I can name all the times that my name hurts me. But there is one thing that I never have had to worry about in my entire career since the first time I did a show, and that's getting my name out there. So I think that's probably why I've always gone about things a little bit different, where I don't need those followers. If anything, I feel like there's already too many eyes on me judging me, that I almost want less, where other people are trying to get their name out there. They got to post pictures, they're constantly posting the workouts, they have YouTubes, they have a whole series. I don't have any of it. So it's really not until I'm now watching other pros, you know, bust their ass and do stuff like that, that I'm realizing that is one benefit that I've never had to deal with.
Wait a minute. Before you go, I was about to let you go. I just fucking hit me. Did somebody told me you're starting your own supplement company?
Boom. How did I not bring it up?
You're a horrible marketer. You're a horrible marketer.
Well, what I was really doing is I was texting Fawn. I was like, hey, ask about my supplement company. Yeah, man.
I was kind of wondering what the fuck the toque, what was on your toque. So explain the supplement company now.
Yeah, man. I worked at Vitamin Shoppe and GNC my whole life. I've been with fucking every company there is. So I just know the ins and outs of supplements and just what's really good and what they really cost. And then when GAT dropped me after promising me again the same shit, I realized this stress of, you know, because I even had Yamamoto reach out to me and a bunch of other companies I could have signed with again. But then now I immediately am like, okay, if I sign 2 years, is it really going to be 2 years? Are you going to drop me again? And three fucking years in a row, 8 weeks out or less, I've been dropped by a company. And that puts such a toll on my body that whatever the money was I was getting, it's not worth it. Yeah. So I'm just done. I'm done with it. And if I'm planning that I'm going to make it one day, I'm going to do my own supplement line anyway. But I don't want to be like Dorian and Ronnie, where they're doing supplement lines after they're already retired.
Or me.
Well, you're not retired.
kind of. I haven't competed in 3 fucking years. but no, it's, I do think you're doing the right thing. I do think it's important to do it while you're in the limelight. It's a lot of work though. So I'm hoping you have a lot of good, a lot of partners with you.
So that was not the smartest thing to do. My first Arnold, and I'm also bringing my clothing line back up because I had to switch it from Florida to California, and a supplement company all in the same prep. Yeah, but luckily, like you said, I'm surrounded by
partners.
The best team. Yeah. My partner in the supplement industry is actually my first workout partner I ever had. He was like the first guy who showed me everything in the ins and outs in Florida. So I'm so grateful that I'm able to just be with my brother, because mixing business and friends is not smart.
Well, it's funny you said that, because Summer, if you guys don't know, Summer's my wife. Summer is the co-owner to Hostile. And my brother is a third partner. So I went into business with family and my wife.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know your brother was in it. Yeah. You're not going to get screwed. No one's going to try and over you on something. So even if you get into arguments and stuff like that, that's never going to happen. And you're never going to get into an argument with business and it's going to mess up your relationship.
Severely.
It's not going to make you get divorced.
We had to cancel our podcast on Monday. So I won't say why, but it could have been part of the reason.
But yeah, so it's Cosmic Industries. It's been really cool too. Yeah, there's tons of stresses, and I'm doing a booth at the Arnold.
Why Cosmic Industries? What's with the space thing?
I actually love space.
Is that why?
It's one of my favorite things, and it's untapped. There's not one space supplement of anything in the fitness industry. No one's tapped into anything space, the planets, astronauts.
That's true. That's true.
So the pre-workouts, Big Bang Theory, and Neptune. And
what are you starting with? The pre-workout, amino? Pre-workout,
EAAs, and then our protein is Milky Way, W-H-E-Way, W-A-T-Y. Very subtle.
I like it.
But no, it's been really cool. But also, I think designing the supplements from the scratch, which you're doing, and second party, and everything that you've been preaching about, I'm really loving that, and I'm really getting addicted to that. I already want to make more.
You know what's really shitty though, if you're a bodybuilder and you're creating a supplement company, when you look at other supplement companies, you look at business guys that own supplement companies, they don't give a shit. They don't care what's in here. They're like, how much does this cost? $5? Okay, let's sell it for $50. Perfect.
Right.
But if you're a bodybuilder, you're like, well, I like this ingredient, and I like that ingredient, and I like that ingredient. And by the time you're done, your shit costs fucking way too much. And then you get your business guys going, hey, wait a minute.
This literally is what I just went through.
Yeah, so it's good. I always tell people that watch any of my podcasts or whatever, I'm always like, look, if you're going to buy supplements, buy them from a bodybuilder, because most likely they have the shit in there that they wanted, and it wasn't a business decision. You know what I mean? Like, I look at companies like Jeff Long's company, or Seth's company, or Jason Ha, or all the bodybuilders that have companies behind them. The ingredients are all pretty good. Like, they didn't skimp on shit just to put out like some nasty product.
Phil's is really good too.
I haven't actually looked into Phil's.
Yeah, I've actually been taking his fat burner for my show. It's actually really good. But that's really what I did, is I actually just looked at everybody else's and just kind of like, but mostly for me taking it. I really like from this one, but I didn't like that, you know, and I've just been doing that for years anyway. Yeah. So that's actually been really cool, and that's something that I maybe would even love to get into after bodybuilding. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't want to leave out John Meadows. John Meadows fucking granite sets. His shit's solid too. I'm excited for you, man. I just can't believe you're taking all this on while getting ready for the biggest show of your life.
It's just a testament to the people that I'm surrounded by. My best friend, who is my manager and assistant, and literally
you know everything. You know you're gonna have to change a lot, eh?
Like what?
Well,
the Sergio
that's...
See, but now it does hurt, right? It does hurt me, exactly.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm trying to get it out of me before I actually meet these people.
The Sergio that started the podcast is not the Sergio that can have a supplement company. That guy's got to go a little... He's got to tone it down a little bit, right?
No, you're absolutely right. No, I think once I get back on stage too, I'm going to remember all the good parts about bodybuilding. Because when you disappear for a while, you're only going to see the bads, and you're only going to see the down parts of it. And there are tons of amazing people and tons of amazing fans and connections that you can make in this sport.
Yeah.
I just like to bash the fitness industry.
I know. You just like to stir shit up. I know. Anyway.
Hey, listen. No one's going to say I'm boring. That's for sure.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Listen, I appreciate you coming on, man. I want to let you go only because I know you're dieting and it's been a while. So go do your thing. Go train your fucking ass off. I'm going to be at the Arnold's and I'll be rooting for you, man. I'm hoping.
All right. Hell yeah. I know. I was talking to Summer. Yeah. I'm so glad that you guys are going to be there because I want to kill this routine in front of you guys. And let's get me on with Luke too, because I really feel in the future, I say this all the time. I said it before he even started doing well on a podcast in the UK with Giles and all them.
Yeah.
But I think in the future, it could be me and Luke and maybe Nathan in the future and Patrick in the future.
What? Support. You mean at the top?
Yeah, one day. I think it might be. Yeah. I think we might be the Phil, Kai, you know, Sean.
I can totally see that. I mean, Luke
and,
is
definitely. And Luke's different too, because I feel like everybody else I'll battle on stage, you know, it'll be close. Yeah. But on a like verbal or intellectual level, I shit on them. But Luke's next level.
Like, yeah, Luke's a witty motherfucker.
Nathan tried me at the press conference and everybody was dying about it because I crushed his ass when he
I heard about that. Me and Aceto were talking about that. He told
really?
Me.
Really? Oh yeah, I love your show. I love that show, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Luke, I don't know. I don't know if I would push his buttons. See? he might creep the fuck out of me.
Yeah, he's violent. I don't know. He's got anger issues. But no, he's witty too. He can
He's very quick.
He can hold his own, yeah. But no, maybe I'll get you on after the Arnold's with me and Luke on our other podcast.
I would love it.
Because on the other one, we just talk about ass and...
I noticed. Yeah.
And fucking and just nonsense. So, anyway, listen, okay. I'm going to let you go do your thing, man. I really, really appreciate you coming on. I know how hard it is when you're dieting, and I look forward to seeing you on stage, man. I hope you do great.
Thanks, Vaughn. I appreciate you and just you and Summer and your guys' support behind the scenes. It's very easy for people to be, oh, my God, you're going to do great, blah, blah, blah. But when you're texting someone or DMing them privately and there wasn't just some post that I posted, that's when you can really tell that people are really in your corner. So I appreciate it.
Summer cares, man. Summer, she just said to me the other day, she's like, I feel like I'm watching my little brother grow into a man. And I'm like, I don't know. Because she knew you when you were like.
Literally, right.
100 pounds lighter.
She's my constant reminder to not ever go back to thinking that I'm the shit. Because we said this on the last podcast. At that photo shoot, I thought I was big. Man, I'm gonna be a pro in like 4 years. I was like 190 pounds.
Yeah.
While she's literally having sex with you. She's like, she's like, this kid is a joke.
All right. Anyway, all right. Listen, let's wrap it up. We'll hopefully I'll get to talk to you soon after the Arnold, or maybe I'll bump into you at the Arnold. We'll see. But
all right, cool.
Regardless, I hope you do awesome, man.
Thank you.
Okay, brother. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon. Bye bye.